Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, buddy. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Friday, the 27th of June. That's right. It's the 27th of June, which means there's only three days left of June, which means July is very close. And that has a big impact on the transfer window. So what's next for Manchester United after Mbeumo? Well, there's a delay on Mbeumo. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Gyökeres and a new keeper is in the news this morning for Manchester United. We'll give you the latest around that and what the realities are. Also, updates coming in on Douglas Luiz. We've also got an update. Well, what I would like to call crap story of the day. We had one yesterday where Man United are apparently joining the race for Isak. I think this is going to be a new feature, the worst transfer story of the day, because we've got an absolute cracker this morning that's come in around Man United, which you're all probably going to laugh at, some of you might believe. But yeah, yesterday's crap story of the day was that United have joined the race for Isak, which we actually know is a load of crap. Anyway, let's hit the show. Friday, how are you all doing? The one good thing I would say is that there is no more full week in June. So next week, we're going to hit July. Whether that's going to make any difference at all, we'll have to wait and see. But it is a new financial year. So that's certainly something we would say. We're going to talk about Gyökeres, but let me just update you on Mbeumo. This is coming in from Fabrizio Romano. Basically came in, I think it was last night on his show, because I did watch it. But this is what he's saying. Man United hope to get the deal done within the next week. Not the next hour, the next week. At the moment, there is still some work to do on the structure of the deal, structure of the add-ons, when to activate to pay these add-ons. There are details of the total package and structure to be clarified for Brian Mbeumo to go to Man United. The club is optimistic. Conversations will continue over the next days and over the weekend with Man United and Brentford. Remember what I said to you a few weeks ago? Brentford don't work weekends normally, so we might have to pay them overtime here. They don't normally work weekends in early June, because that's, you know, they don't. So United might need to get them to work at the weekend so that they can try and get this deal done. Ben Jacobs said last night, medical next week. I think that it just depends whether Man United want to get this deal done in this financial year or next financial year. Obviously, July is the start of a new football financial year. So if you sign Mbeumo, it would go into next year's allocation. I actually would like it to be done before June the 30th. I mean, I don't know what we're doing with Cunha and Mbeumo. I don't know whether officially paying the first installment before June the 30th or afterwards. If we do it before June the 30th, that means that we had a little bit of money left that we could use in this year's allocation. And I'd see that as a positive, because it leaves next year's allocation alone. Obviously, if we're waiting until after June the 30th, that we're eating into next year's budget. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out. But I'm actually not that bothered. I can see some people in the chat. Frisky says they're waiting to announce him with the away kit. I want to talk about Gyökeres. I think that's what's got me in a good mood this morning. But it was a great show last night as well. I loved it. I'm loving the new spoiler section. But look, I think when you understand how Man United work, it is frustrating. But I wasn't expecting here we go by the end of the week anyway. It would have been nice. It could have happened. But it doesn't surprise me that it's gone into next week, and it's a good update from Fabrizio, and he's basically saying at some point in the next week, there's still a lot of talks going on about the add-ons. So all these people that have been saying all week, deal done, 63 million, this, that, and the other, it's not deal done, is it? It's not here we go, because they're not there yet. So I think that I'll be very happy when we sign Mbeumo. I'm very happy with Cunha. I think they're going to make a big difference, which I'll talk about in a moment. But it's obviously not there yet, and I think it will be. I'll guarantee it will happen. The obvious thing, the only negative thing I would say is, and I've said it so many times, is that we can't work on more than one deal at once. So if we'd done Mbeumo 2 weeks ago, we'd have been working on something else for the last 2 weeks. And I'm not saying that would be a striker, because we're going to talk about what's happening there in a moment. But it could have been a goalkeeper. It could have been a midfielder. It could have been selling somebody. So all in all, I think on Monday, it's 4 weeks since David Ornstein dropped the bomber that we were going to sign Mbeumo, and we still haven't. So we do. It's that time, isn't it? We don't have the luxury of time, and we need to move quickly. But we will get the Mbeumo deal done. I'm not going to stress too much about when the here we go is going to happen. I'm sure it will. Let's talk about Gyökeres. So this is the big story this morning. What's the next deal going to be? So Ebola in Portugal and the Daily Mirror in the UK both reporting that Manchester United are basically in pole position to sign Gyökeres now. I think a lot of this is coming out because of Arsenal's activity. What's the name of that centre-back that Arsenal have gone for? I had him on my career mode. I had him on my FIFA career mode. He's actually quite good. Is it Mendoza or someone like that? From Sevilla, someone like that. He's good. I mean, where's that come from? That's a good deal. They're also looking at Eze, Rodrigo. So Arsenal look like they're getting Mosquera, that's it. Arsenal look like they're getting active, which can only be a good thing around the striker. I think we all know they prefer Sesko. So are Man United now in the box seat to sign Gyökeres? That's what we all want to know. And I want to say, if we are, great. Great. I feel like Tony the Tiger. They're great. Can't even buy. Can you buy Frosties anymore? Can you still get Frosties? Remember that? Remember Tony the Tiger? They're great. He used to go like, grr. They're great. Because he's a tiger. I don't know whether you can buy Frosties anymore anyway. I wouldn't eat them now. Frosties to me were a BTEC Crunchy Nut Cornflakes, which will always be the winner. It's because of the nuts. You can still get them. You can still get them. So I think moving on, I'd be really happy with signing Gyökeres. I'll tell you why in a moment, but do I believe these stories from Portugal? Do I believe these stories in the Daily Mirror? No, I don't. I listened to Fabrizio last night. Considering this is about 10 hours old, I listened to Fabrizio Romano's last video last night, about 10 hours ago, and this is what he had to say about Gyökeres. He said, he hasn't rejected Manchester United, but he has told Manchester United that his priority is Arsenal, mainly because of Europe and where that football club is and where he is in his career. So Arsenal is his priority, and he's waiting to see what they do. If Arsenal go for Sesko and don't go for him, then the door opens up to Manchester United. But somebody else could still swoop in and say, we've got Champions League football, and he might fancy that. So that's the reality of the position. You can't dress it up any differently. You can't put makeup on it. You can't put perfume on it. It is what it is. He would rather go to Arsenal for the reasons that are very obvious to everybody. Some people are like, he's crap. He's basically a Swedish Rasmus, you know, because that's what some people do as a defence mechanism. If he'd said he wants to come to Manchester United, people would be saying he's the best striker in Europe. He scored more goals than anybody in Europe last year, and he'd be brilliant for us because we need goals. But because he's wanting Arsenal over us, suddenly he's a load of crap. Suddenly he's the Swedish Lukaku. And it's not true. He is wanted by Arsenal because he's a very good striker. Look at it that way. He's not rejecting us for Ipswich. He's not rejecting us anyway, I must just say. But he prefers somebody to us. It's like, I don't think people understand like what a rejection is. You ask somebody to marry you and they say, never, you ugly prat. That's rejection. Somebody saying, I'm not sure about it at the moment, is a nice way of saying they're probably looking at what else is on the market. It doesn't mean it's a no. And I think that in this situation, I don't really understand the problem with Gyökeres coming to Man United if Arsenal signs Sesko, because it completely and utterly ignores two major factors for me. First of all, We finished 15th and we're not in Europe. We're absolutely rubbish. We're Manchester United by name. We're not Manchester United in any other way. We don't replicate or resonate or remind me of any United side I've ever seen or any United side I watched on tapes with my granddad in the 80s. I don't recognise this Man United. I don't recognise us at all. So we're trying to rebuild it. If the best goal scorer in Europe wants to come to us because Arsenal don't want him anymore, thank you. Thank you. Please come here and score a lot of goals for us. You are welcome. Thank you very much for coming to this football club and helping us out. I would still see it as a massive, massive win because we ain't this Man United that some people think we are, where beggars can be choosers and we can go, we don't want you anymore. See what we end up with if we don't get Gyökeres. That's what I would say. And the second thing I would say as well about Gyökeres is, and this is what I did on Instagram with my hot take, and I'm going to say it here now on YouTube as well, because you might not have heard it. I think if we get a striker in that I'm happy with, I'm going to sit here and say the pathway to top five is well and truly up and running. I'm not drunk. I haven't had anything. The only thing I've got is blackcurrant. That's it. There's nothing in there. It's completely water and whatever Sainsbury's blackcurrant is. And it's very, very refreshing. But I think the pathway to top five strategically is en route. Mbeumo and Cunha scored 35 Premier League goals between them last season. Our top five Premier League goal scorers scored 30. So you bring Mbeumo and Cunha in and then you add a striker that can score 15 Premier League goals. That's 50 goals there. Now, obviously, I wouldn't expect them all to get 50 goals, but with Bruno there and Amad as well, Cunha and Mbeumo, Bruno, Amad and a striker, I can see us going from 30 goals to 50 to 60 goals. That's double the goals. That gets you massively up the league table, and that's got to be what the strategy is. So I'm not going to sit here and say if Gyökeres ends up coming to Man United, I'm going to, oh, it's a bad thing. I think suddenly you've got another 20, 30 goals coming into the team with Cunha and Mbeumo and a Gyökeres, maybe more. So, and that's not fantasy talk, that's factual talk. Our top five Premier League goal scorers scored 30 goals. Gyökeres could nearly do that on his own. Plus Cunha, plus Mbeumo, plus Bruno, plus Amad, plus whoever else we've got. It would be a massive spike in goals, and goals win games. At the other end, if you could replace Onana with a half-decent goalkeeper, you'd probably win a lot more games as well. So look, we can talk about stats. We can talk about systems. We can talk about difficult fixtures. But the reality is, football's a very, very simple game. We didn't score enough goals last year. Let's bring three players in that can score a lot of goals. Our goalkeeper's not that good. Let's bring a goalkeeper in that's better. We'll concede less goals. We'll score more goals. We'll climb the table. And, you know, you can say it's bullshit, like Shiraj says, but football's really easy, mate. It's really simple. Really, really simple. Tell me I'm wrong. It's simple. Get people in who can score goals in this league. Get a goalkeeper in that's not shit. It'll change overnight. Chelsea have been making this mistake for 3 years. They haven't brought a world-class goalkeeper and they haven't brought a world-class striker. And they struggle because of it. Simple as that. So do I think that we're in pole position to sign Gyökeres, I suppose, is the main thing, because that's what we're getting from Portugal in the Daily Mirror. No, I don't think we're in pole position to sign Gyökeres. I don't think anything's changed in the last 2 weeks, and I don't think anything's going to change in the next week either. I think Gyökeres is locked into a very, very tempestuous situation with Sporting over what his release clause or fee is going to be. I don't think that either party is looking to back down on that at the moment. And I think that that could run for quite a while. I don't think that helps Gyökeres. I don't think that helps Arsenal. I don't think it helps us. I don't think we're going to have a striker on the US tour. I would love to get proved right, but I just don't see it. Somebody said to me, we are now 3 weeks out from going on tour, 3.5 weeks, something like that. Maybe, I think it's 4 weeks today we play our first game. So on the tour. So we're not even in concrete negotiations with the striker. So, and it's 4 weeks on Mbeumo. So we won't have a striker on tour. That won't happen. But do I think, if you're asking me who I think the most likely striker to sign is at the moment, Gyökeres. But I'm not confident. I just think he's the most likely striker because we're not linked to anybody else at the moment. Tommy says striker or goalkeeper, Mark. I don't think it can be a choice. I think it has to be both. I think if you make a choice, then we're just being what Man United have been for the last decade. Well, we have spent money. Yeah, but you haven't spent enough. You haven't done enough. And we need both, in my opinion.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, Mark. Love the stream, says James. You said you'd be happy to play professional football for free. Would you still play for Man City and Liverpool? For free? Yeah, I would, James. Yeah. I mean, not now, but I would have done 20 years ago. I'd love to play professional football. I don't think that I'm never going to lie about that. Obviously the dream would have been to play for the club I support. So I'd love to play for United. But to play professional football, I mean, that was the dream for me as a kid. I'm not going to deny it now for, you know, some weird sort of, now I'd only play for Man United. And I mean, I did do trials. I did play decent football when I was like 15, 16. And you can't be, you know, there's very few players out there that can be so arrogant that they can say, I'm only going to play for Man United. It's a gift to play professional football, and I'd grab it with both hands. Don't mind the deal, but why club's not fighting for him, says Robert McCormack. I don't know who you're talking about, Robert. Mbeumo, I think. That pathway will be blocked off and dug up while we have the Pratt between the sticks, says Gaz. If back, do you think Amrim can win a title, says Ben Mitchell. It's very difficult. I think that has to be the strategy, but it's very difficult to say Man United are going to win a Premier League title because it's possible, but Liverpool look very well run at the moment. Very well run. Buying good players. Liverpool look like they're not going to go anywhere. Arsenal look like they're not going to go anywhere. Man City, I would say, aren't going to go anywhere, but there is this court case. So I can't sit here and say Man City aren't going to go anywhere because they could. But Liverpool and Arsenal don't look like they're going to go anywhere. It's very competitive. It's very hard to say we're going to win a title. Have you noticed how Ruben's former players seem to be picking or preferring other clubs like Kendra and Jokeres? Doesn't transmit confidence as class of 99. I think that's because United are shit. Though, I think we didn't get Kenda because Chelsea offered him a far better deal. And we're not getting Jokeres because we're not in the Champions League. I understand why Kenda chose Chelsea and I understand why Jokeres chooses Arsenal. I don't think it's a reflection on Amrim. I think it's a reflection on the club. Jokeres news is not even worth it. If it happens, it happens. We are losing interest. Is he 27, says Whale. You're losing interest. Some people might be losing interest. I think I'm not going to lose interest in a striker. I will attend the first pre-season game of the season in Sweden. Hopefully I get to see some new signings and not some greedy prats, says Casper. First pre-season game in Sweden, you're not going to see Jokeres, even if he signs for United. But you will see Mbeumo and Cunha, definitely. I feel like in this instance, for once, United are not the only ones at fault for the Mbeumo delay. Brentford rightfully want the best deal for them. It's still frustrating that it's one deal at a time. I think that's the big thing, Patrick, yeah. We can't work on more than one deal at a time, can we? And many clubs do. Liverpool were clearly working on Kerkez, Frimpong and Wirtz at the same time. Clearly, because they've all happened in a month. Jokeres, says James. Frisky, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. I'm scared for Man United. Our rivals are just operating on a different level, says Sammy. Yes and no. I mean, I want to talk about the goalkeeper next, but yes and no. I think that Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City and maybe Chelsea are operating on a different level to Manchester United at the moment, but they are on a different level to Man United. You can't go to the top of the mountain from the bottom. You've got to climb the mountain. And Villa at the moment, not having a great summer transfer window. Newcastle at the moment, not having a great summer transfer window. Brighton, Bournemouth, Forest. You know, this is where next season, I think most of us would be comfortable with being fifth or sixth. Anything below that, I don't think we would. But I think fifth or sixth next season and a good cup run back into the Europa League, most people would grab that now. I want Champions League football. desperately I do, but and I think the club do as well. But I'm not putting us into the Champions League. I mean, that's ridiculous. To go from 15th and how bad we are to being in the top four when we've just mentioned Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, it's very difficult. We to be in the Champions League, we would need England to get five spots again, and we go for fifth. If it's four spots, I don't think it's possible. So I'm sort of looking at fifth. I'm looking at the dream being fifth. And people say, clip him up, clip him up. It's a reality dream. The dream is to win the league, but I'm not stupid. So I look at next season and I go fifth. You're absolutely correct. We are nowhere near operating like Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal are on the pitch or in the transfer window. We're miles off. But for me, I do mind about that, but maybe that's next year. For this year, this summer transfer window, we've got to just go fifth. That's what we've got to do. And anything beyond that's great. And maybe we do go beyond that because we're not playing in Europe. Maybe we have a really good season and we're really fit and we're really... I mean, I remember when Liverpool nearly won the league and that was under Brendan Rodgers because they weren't playing in Europe. They were so fresh. They were killing teams in the first 20 minutes. Hopefully that's going to happen to us, but... reality is we'll probably be somewhere between sixth and 10th. But I look beyond Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City and I go Spurs, Newcastle, Villa, us. We've got a right to finish above them if everything goes well. Newcastle are in the Champions League. Villa are in the Europa League. Spurs are in the Champions League. I don't think they've got the squads to deal with that. We won't be. So I'm pitching us in at fifth. And then hoping that everyone does well in Europe and we get another Europe Champions League spot. That's what I'm pitching us in. We've got to go for fifth. Fifth is the new fourth. And that's what we've got to go for. But they've got to get a striker. They've got to get a striker to do that. We desperately need physicality in our midfield. I hope United don't get too hung up on a striker so they can address this position too, says Rob. Interestingly, I am going to talk about goalkeeper, but Rob makes a good point. And I saw a story this morning about Leeds being in for Douglas Luiz. We're not Leeds stand, we're the United stand, but it does just give a little bit of information in this story that we probably didn't have yesterday. Now, remember, Man United have been linked to Douglas Luiz. Some of you wouldn't like him. I would. I think he's better than what we've got. And I think we certainly need a bit of energy and athleticism in the midfield. He's only just turned 27 as well. So I think he'd be a good signing for us. The article that's talking about Leeds' interest actually gives his wages and the price that Juventus are looking for. So Juventus want 21 million and his wage is 82,000. So both of those things, I think, for a 27-year-old Premier League proven midfielder who ticks a lot of the boxes for us, I think 21 million and £82,000 a week isn't bad, is it? So I don't know whether we're going to act upon that, but I don't think that's too bad. Mark, if a woman said that she doesn't reject me but prefers someone else, I would be fuming, says Amir. Depends who the woman is, isn't it? Do you know the reason why no one went for Kelleher other than Brentford, says Iso? Well, they went for him pretty bloody quick. We can't go for a Liverpool player. Bailey Overton, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, I've been watching the United stand since I was 5 with my older brother who sadly passed away. Love this community, Mark, the best community in the world. Well, Bailey, I'm so sad to hear that about your older brother. And I don't know the circumstances of it, obviously, but really sad to hear that. And thank you for being part of the community. Some people in the chat are saying that Rude's been sacked by Leicester. All I'm going to say about that is, welcome to modern football. It's absolutely idiotic. You throw him into a job in December, and like Amorim, he doesn't have a pre-season. He doesn't have a transfer window. Not only that, you put him into Leicester in the Premier League, you are definitely going to get relegated, and then you sack him at the end of June, wasting half your transfer window. I mean, that's just how to run a club badly, isn't it? It's incredible. If they were going to sack him, they should have sacked him at the end of May. Get the new guy in for June. So Rude's been there on holiday, thinks he's coming back and gets sacked. I mean, it's crazy to me. But it's modern football. Some of these owners are thick. Like, they haven't got a bloody clue what they're on about. You had to give him a pre-season. Look at Graham Potter at West Ham. They were shit. But he needs a pre-season. I don't think people understand that giving a job to a manager halfway through a season, unless you get someone like Emery at Villa, you need a bloody miracle for it to work. He needed a pre-season. Ridiculous. Stupid story of the day before I talk about goalkeepers. This came in from, I think it was Team Talk. So Man United are in the race to sign Zaire Emery from PSG. I think he's 19. I think he's already played 100 games for PSG. He's a midfielder, mostly on their bench, to be fair, but they are a great side. Does it sound like nonsense to you yet? It should do, but this will be the icing on the cake. PSG are looking for 85 million. It's nonsense. It's the nonsense story of the day. Man United are looking at Zaire Emery for £85 million. What a crock of rubbish. It's nice to bring in a rubbish story of the day. Let's talk about goalkeepers, though. There is some nonsense floating around about the goalkeeper as well. Konaseki of Atalanta has been linked to us again this morning. Apparently, Man United are getting ready to offer €40 million for Konaseki of Atalanta, goalkeeper. I haven't seen that much of him, really. I know he's highly thought of, but I haven't really seen that much about him. We know that Emi Martinez, and this is a fact, you know, it's been spoken about by Ben Jacobs, Fabrizio Romano, and many, many others. Emi Martinez is basically flirting with us. He wants to come to Manchester United. So whether you like Konaseki, whether you like Emi Martinez, or Costa, who with Ederson staying at Man City, I thought he was going to Man City. Costa, he can't go to Man City now. I don't think there's another club he can go to, maybe Chelsea. But Chelsea don't look like they're going to spend that amount of money on a goalkeeper.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So there's 3 good options there, and there's probably more. Costa, Martinez, Konaseki, there's probably more than that. The goalkeeper market is strangely good. In a year's time, it might not be. So I think that Man United have got to find a way to do this summer. There is no way on earth that Amorim wants an Arna. There's just no way. It's not his goalkeeper. He didn't buy him. He doesn't want him. He wants his own goalkeeper. 100%. The same way Ten Hag wanted his own goalkeeper. The same way Pep wanted his own goalkeeper. And Arteta wanted his own goalkeeper. He will want a goalkeeper. Many of you will want a goalkeeper. And this goalkeeping market is the best I've seen it in a few years. There are so many goalkeepers available this summer. And it might not be like that next year. So I think United have got to find a way to do it. I'm not going to sit here and say they've got to do it before the pre-season. It won't happen before pre-season anyway. But I think with a goalkeeper, it doesn't have to happen before pre-season. But I do have some concerns. If we want Martinez, I think he's suspended for the start of the season. And the way United work financially, I wouldn't be surprised if they went, well, don't sign him until after his suspension's over. Which means you start the season with an Arna. Which means you're jeopardising points again. But that wouldn't surprise me with United, because how many times have we bought players after the season started? So Martinez could happen later in the window, but you're jeopardising points. Konaseki, we'll come back to. Costa, we'll come back to. But I think that the big issue that we've got with the goalkeeping situation is the market's really, really good, but we have to sell an Arna. We have to sell an Arna. He can't be here. And this is where it's a double-edged sword, because some of you, like me, would bring the goalkeeper in and force an Arna out. But some people won't do it until we've got rid of an Arna, because they're worried that if we do bring in, say, Costa, and then an Arna says, well, I'm not going anywhere, he might just sit on the bench on 140 grand a week. It's a risk, but I don't care. I actually don't care. I want Man United to be successful, and that's the most important thing. So I was listening to what Fabrizio Romano had to say. I'll actually bring the news in. So what he said about the goalkeeper situation last night is that Man United have had no concrete talks with Konaseki. There are no concrete talks between Monaco and Onana. And Emi Martinez would like to sign for Manchester United, but as of now, there is nothing advancing on the goalkeeper situation. What he said is there is interest from Saudi for Onana, but at the moment, that is not progressing. So the goalkeeper situation and the striker situation are really easy. People can say there's no news, but they're easy situations. We're waiting to see what Arsenal do with Gyökeres and Sesko. And when they decide what they're going to do, we will decide what we're going to do because we're picking up the crumbs. And with the goalkeeper situation, we can't get a goalkeeper because Onana won't leave. And if Onana won't leave, we won't get a goalkeeper. It sounds incredible because obviously we want a goalkeeper, but it's incredible that that player power still exists at this football club because of the debt. Because of the debt that strangles us, we have got no financial leeway to do what maybe a Barcelona would do or another club would do, or certainly a Man City. If you've got the power, you can force these players out. You can buy another player in. But the trouble with Man United is that everybody knows, because it's public knowledge, just how financially insecure we are. So I'm not saying that we can't get a goalkeeper in, but it's the Onana situation that's causing the problem. And he is well liked at the football club. You know, it's not that Amrim doesn't like him. I mean, it'd be a very interesting Carrington when Rashford and Sancho and Garnacho roll back in a couple of weeks' time. With Onana, there won't be an issue. It's not a personal issue, it's a quality issue. City and Liverpool are getting two here we goes in 4 days and we can't get one in 3 weeks. Is it because we finished 15th and nobody wants to join us? Or are the negotiators not good enough, says Kevin? I think this is a very good question, Kevin. And it's got nothing to do with finishing 15th in the league. Like, Man City's whole existence was a poor Premier League club that got relegated every now and again. They then got rich owners. They had no pedigree. And they were buying better than we were as a team that was winning the Premier League every year. And what I mean by that is that Man City got money and suddenly they were buying better players than Liverpool and Man United, even though we were finishing higher in the league than them, because they had money and negotiators. So it's never about your league position on how slow you negotiate if you've got the money and if you've got good negotiators. And that we don't have good negotiators. We've never had good negotiators. I'd argue it with anybody. We don't have good negotiators. We never have. We spent 6 weeks negotiating with Leicester on Harry Maguire and paid a British transfer record of 80 million. We've spent 4 weeks negotiating with Brentford and we're going to give them exactly what they want. We're not good at negotiating. You know, we started talks with Anthony in June and Ajax wanted 50 million. We left it, came back in August and we paid 80. So we're just not good at negotiating on transfers. We're good at getting players in. I've never seen, you know, look at the players we brought in. Pogba, Maguire, Casemiro. You know, we brought in good signings. Mbeumo, Cunha. But we're not actually good at negotiating. And that's where I don't think people understand that. Because when I say we're not good at negotiating, they start looking at the players we buy. No issue with the players we buy. But we're not quick at negotiating. And we're not good at getting prices brought down at all either. And we never have been. And it's not changed. It's not changed under Ineos at all. We're still really slow at getting deals done. And ultimately, Mbeumo would be a Man United player if 3 weeks ago we'd said, we'll give you 60 million plus five in add-ons. Because ultimately, that's what we're going to do after 4 weeks anyway. We've not negotiated that price down. If anything, it's gone up. Our first offer was 45 million plus 10. We're now at 60 plus something else. So we are very bad at negotiating and it slows us down. Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, they're just better negotiators than us. The factors behind that are probably better personnel, better owners. What has traditionally slowed Man United down, and I presume it's still the same, is that, and this is anybody that's been at the football club or any ex-employee of the football club or any decent journalist will tell you this. What has traditionally slowed Man United down is if you're negotiating a deal with Brentford, you don't have the power to negotiate the deal. So Brentford could be going, look, we'll do this now, but it's only for, you know, we'll do this now, but only now. That negotiator can't go, let's do it. He's then got to go out, speak to the Glazers. They've got to think about it, come back. Everything has to get sign off from the Glazers. So that's what slows us down a lot of the time, is that the negotiator doesn't have the power to do the deal. They have the power to negotiate, go back to the Glazers and say this is okay, and then they come back, and it slows it all down. What do you think about Rodrigo from Porto, says LZ? Not a lot. I don't watch Porto. I didn't watch Porto in the Club World Cup. I've certainly not heard as we linked to him. And I don't think that in this summer transfer window, as I said yesterday, there's some people who mentioned Guerra and Stack and Elliot Hackney as midfield options, but we're not actually in talks with them. So it's irrelevant. We're not actually in talks with anybody beyond Mbeumo at the moment. Jokeres might not end up being the striker. We might not get a goalkeeper. We might buy a midfielder that no one's talking about at the moment. Lone Wolf says, Mark, I'm confused. You said that Douglas Luiz's injuries in the last year is horrific. No more sick notes. Trying to word this in a way that's fair. He's had a bad year at Juventus for injuries, but that's not necessarily a no from me. I mean, if we had a decent medical team, I'd want them to look at it and go, and my question would be, I want this player. Is he a medical risk? Because is he picking up a lot of injuries now because he's going to pick up a lot of injuries for the rest of his career? Or is it because he's gone to Italy? Because when he was at Villa, he wasn't picking up these injuries. Bruno created 91 chances last season. Salah, 89. Salah got 18 assists. Bruno, only 10. We need better finishers. And Mbeumo and Cunha got 35 from 21 XG, says Slazy. I've always said this about Bruno. His stats on creating chances are incredible. I watch every single Man United game. I don't know where these chances get created from. I genuinely don't know where they get created from, because we don't create chances in the penalty box. So is it counted as a chance creation when he passes it on the halfway line to Garnacho and he shoots from 40 yards? Is that a chance created? Because I've always said this about Bruno. There's no doubt he's a brilliant player, but I don't remember many chances where Bruno plays it into somebody and they miss a sitter. Because we don't create that many chances like that. So what are these chances that he creates loads and loads of? And surely it's a fair statement to say some of these chances that he creates must be a 5-yard pass to someone like Antony or Rashford or Garnacho, who cuts inside and shoots from ridiculous places. Is that counted as a chance? Because that's not the same as the sort of chances that, you know, maybe a Mo Salah creates. And that's probably why when you say that Bruno created more chances than Salah, but Salah's chances got converted more, it might be because of the quality of the chance created. I don't know what the definition of a chance created chance is, but I've always said this about Bruno. I watch him every week and I don't see 4 or 5 chances per game that are sitters. So I've never really understood how they determine what a chance creation is. Some of them will be good chances, but I think some of them must be, you know, the pass to the person who shoots from a stupid place.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Should we rotate Cunha, Xerxes, Højlund and Mbeumo as strikers instead of signing someone? No. No, Tobias. Don't be a Glazer. Don't do stuff like that. Don't come up with... Why, as a United fan, would you sit there and go, maybe we don't need a striker, maybe we can get by with Rasmus, Xerxes, Cunha and Mbeumo? Like, we have to be greedy. We have to be greedy. We're not accountants. We have to be greedy and we have to shout what this club needs. Because if you give them excuses not to spend money, they won't spend money. Like, we need a striker. 30 Premier League goals last year in our top 5 from our top 5 scorers is terrible. We have to have a striker. There can't be a let's get by. We have to get a striker. Need a traditional striker, says ISO. Yeah. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Tobias. Do you see a way back to the top with our current owners, says Siska. How's your hangover? I'm not hungover. I've got a bit of a headache, but I'm not hungover. Hope you and the family are well. Thank you, mate. And yours too. Do I see a way back to the top with our current owners? I mean, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. But I don't see us winning Premier League titles with the Glazers and Ineos. I can see us getting back into the top four. Just. But I don't see us winning Premier League titles with them, no. No, I don't. I can't see Man United winning Premier League titles. I don't think we've got the right sort of players to do that in the next. Like, I think that I don't see many Premier League title winners in that team. And to get to that point, I think there's a hell of a lot of work that needs to be done. And I don't think United... I mean, look at Liverpool. They've just spent £120 million on Wirtz. I mean, and they're the Premier League title winners. I think it's the worst time in the world to be playing catch-up in the Premier League. I've seen the Premier League from its inception to today. And there has been Premier League seasons where everybody's had a bad day. And then Leicester took the title. All the big teams, I mean. There has been Premier League titles where a Man United, there's not really a competitor for us, so we win the league. There has been Premier League seasons where, you know, one or two teams are competing with each other for 3 or 4 years. I look at the Premier League at the moment, I don't think it's ever been so competitive. The Man City domination seems to have stopped. It doesn't mean they can't win the title, but Liverpool and Arsenal have closed the gap. And you've still got Man City there. Then you've got this next wave of clubs who want to be part of that, whether it's Chelsea, Newcastle, Villa, whatever. So there's a lot of competition. And I think the traditional way of Man United winning Premier Leagues doesn't exist anymore. You can't just build a half-decent team and compete for a title. You've got to be... And they're all fighting each other as well. Like Liverpool won the league and then they go and buy 3 or 4 top players because they now want to win the Champions League. They're building like really, really super squads, basically. I mean, look at Man City last night. The squad, the bench they've got there, it's a hell of a look. I think the first step for United, and I'm not being negative, I'm being positive. The first step for us is to get back in the Champions League, but and consistently, because if you can get in the Champions League consistently, it's huge money, and that's why Liverpool are spending money. That's why Arsenal are spending money. They're earning £100 million last year that we're not gonna get. And next year, 2 or 3 years, they've made, you know, they're on the way to £500 million of revenue that we're not getting at all. You can't compete against anybody that's earning £500 million of revenue every 5 years that you're not getting. It's going to kill you. So we have to get back in the Champions League first, and then we would reassess whether we can win the title with this ownership. But at the moment, it looks very, very difficult. But I'm not saying we're going to get relegated. I think we have to just pitch where we are. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, for me, fifth place would be the dream this season, as long as top five get Champions League football. Mark Barada said we will go for players that want to play for United and not for Champions League football. So why are we going for Jokeres? We went for Delap as well, because he's talking out his arse. Robert McCormack says Bruno takes every set piece. That is probably a very good... point. John says it's actually insane that we can't talk to two players at the same time. It's a weird concept for Man United to multitask. We have done it. We can do it. It's just quite rare to do it. Even last summer, it was Xerxes, then it was Yoro, then it was De Ligt and Mazraoui, but they were at the same club and it was the same deal. And then we've got, and then we did Agate, didn't we? So we're just very bad on incomings. I've never really monitored it enough on outgoings. I don't know whether we can work on an outgoing and an incoming at the same time. What do you think about Jadon Sancho? I think Jadon Sancho is... I nearly said something rude. I think in relation to Jadon Sancho, I don't like talking about him. Because when he left to go to Chelsea last summer, I thought that was it. And it feels like it's like an annoying boil on your arse that's come back that you thought you'd got rid of. I don't mind talking about Rashford. I don't mind talking about Garnacho. I don't mind talking about Antony, because all three of them need to go, but it's the first time we're really trying to get rid of them. Sancho feels like a player we got rid of and he's come back. And I just find it such a... These are the things that frustrate me, because it's like, again, United are now negotiating with Juventus, Napoli and Fenerbahce. And we talk about not being able to do deals quickly. How can you do multiple deals? Like, he should be a Chelsea player. We were told a year ago that they'd got him on a loan with an obligation to buy, and unless they finished below 12th in the Premier League, he had to sign for them. And United let that go out. And it annoys me, and it should be a real warning on how happy they are to lie to you. Because that was there. And they were living off that praise. Oh, that's not a bad deal. 25 million guaranteed. He's gone to Chelsea unless they finish below 12th. And then what happens in March? No. They can send him back for 5 million quid. So I'm sort of like, he was a Chelsea player. He was gone. And now he's here. And our negotiation team, which are not very good, are now wasting days, maybe weeks, negotiating on a player when we thought he'd gone. So it's wasting time, basically. That's what I'm saying. It's strange we sacked hundreds of people and have Wilcox and Favell both doing the job of director of football. How can we not do more than one deal at a time, says Patrick. I don't think, and also let's not forget, I don't think Wilcox and Favell are experienced by any stretch of the imagination in negotiation of big deals. So they're very much learner drivers themselves. Favell is well thought of, but this is a big job, and Wilcox is very early in his career as well. And Berarda is very, it's his first job as a CEO. He was a COO at Man City. So yeah, again, we've got people that will hopefully get better in future years, but are still learning the job. Is Ineos saying to Ruben, you should have won the Champions League, says Sadev. Should have won the Europa League. Can't do anything about it now, unfortunately. Kevin says, we're waiting for the suspension to end. Might be risky on Martinez, because if Onana happens to perform well in the next couple of games, the club might decide not to pursue a new goalkeeper. I think if Onana is in goal for the pre-season, you know how it works. Pre-season Pereira. If he does well in pre-season, people will start thinking we don't need a goalkeeper. And then in October, you'll realise you made a mistake. You're absolutely spot on, Kevin. I can see a scenario where in pre-season, you know, all the PR will be there. Oh, he's having a great pre-season. And then the window closes and the reality strikes. No one's telling me that that's the right goalkeeper to go into the season with. But if we do it, ultimately, who pays the price? It'll be Amrim. Amrim's the one who'll be the manager fronting up after the mistakes. Hi, Mark. Very happy with Cunha joining. Quick question. Why is it United don't send more scouts to Brazil or South America like Madrid or Barcelona? William, I think you made a great point as well. It was something that Ten Hag was very big on, because being at Ajax, they recruit a lot of players from South America. The South American League, especially the Brazilian League, is one I actually hope to, over the next year or two, start monitoring more. I've always liked that league and the Argentinian League, even if it's just watching the highlights or something like that, because there are so many. It's just an absolute pipeline of teenage talent. Obviously, Real Madrid have just took that lad from, was it Boca Juniors or River Plate? Forget that. Chelsea took that centre-back as well. Brazil, like, there's always a 17, 18-year-old coming through. It was something that United were looking at under Ten Hag, and I don't know where we are with it now. I really don't. But we have got Martinez, Argentinian. We have got Cunha now, who's Brazilian. And Cunha loved Manchester United as a kid. So we are still a massively popular club in that area of the world. We're just not very good at Mastantano, that was it. We're just not very good at recruiting from there. And I don't know why. I think you're right. Like, I mean, we did we had the De Silva brothers, didn't we? Fabio and Rafael, many years ago. But it's a very good market. and we're just not very good at tapping into it. But we're not great in tapping into any market at the moment, really. We're getting better in the European market, but our recruitment, I mean, there's a fantastic story there, isn't there, that we'd all read about Man United's worldwide recruitment policy, because it's not as good as it can be, to be honest with you. Anyway, we talk and talk. Thanks, everybody, this morning. Really enjoyed the show. Hope you did as well. I am with you tonight, Friday night at 8 o'clock. Lovely stuff. And we are back at 2 o'clock with you as well. There was a question there I will answer. Do you think we'll get any breaking news today? At some point, we will get breaking news on concrete talks with somebody. And I say that with total positivity and conviction. There will be some story breaking at some point in the next few days about concrete talks for Garnacho or Rashford or Antony or Sancho or Gyökeres or a goalkeeper. That will happen, guaranteed. We're walking into that area now where it has to happen. Do I think it will be today? I don't know. Do I think we'll get Mbeumo, here we go, today? Doesn't feel like it. But at some point, it will happen. It's inevitable. We can't sit here and go, it's not going to happen. It will. We have a massive pile of players we've got to move on, and we have a massive pile of players that we need to bring in. And it can't be every day speculation, speculation. There has to be, at some point, concrete talks. Because we know that from concrete talks, you then start the clock between 3 and 6 weeks for it to get done. So 3 to 6 weeks time takes you to the start of the season virtually. So there has to be some progression on other deals really soon, based on the knowledge that look at David Ornstein. That Monday night was the start of concrete and our Mbeumo to Man United. 4 weeks later, he's still not, here we go. So, and that's not unusual for United. So we need and will get at some point in the next few days some concrete developments around something. But it doesn't mean they won't sign for another month, which is why I know it will happen. 15 hours ago, Garnacho posted on Facebook, never get too comfortable. People switch up fast. One day you're their priority, the next you're invisible. Thoughts? I haven't seen that, Reese, but it's quite a deep comment, isn't it? And it's not wrong. I don't know why Garnacho got kicked out of the team for Mount, and I think that's what's caused all this, but Amorim is the manager. My girlfriend's always liked Garnacho because he's a diva. I should have seen the red flag sooner, says Hayden. What happened to the Mainoo contract extension, says Peter? Oh, it'll happen, mate. It'll happen. That's a fake account, by the way, says Brandon. It probably is, because I've not heard anything about it. The Mainoo contract will happen. They might keep it back till August when the... Look, if you're Man United and you know you're going to announce a new contract for Mainoo, and you are going to announce it, it's very obvious. Mainoo's out there training, working hard with Yoro. He ain't going anywhere. Not going anywhere. He's going to be at Man United next season. If you're Man United and you know you've got a new contract for Mainoo to announce, do you just do it today? Or do you wait to a point where the fan base is getting frustrated and do it then? Perfect to announce it in August when the window's not going well. It's just about timing. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll be back later. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe, and I'll speak to you all soon.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.